Mike DeGibbon. Hello, friend, and welcome to a few moments together as we once again have the opportunity to share the Word of God together. I trust you'll get your Bible or New Testament and follow along with us as we are considering the truths of the Trinity of Almighty God, this wonderful, beautiful truth concerning God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who they're one. The Bible tells us they're one. And yet God manifests or reveals or makes himself known to us as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And you remember the illustration that we gave concerning water. Water is liquid usually, and yet it can also appear as water vapor, like fog or a cloud, or it can also appear as solid, like ice. And so it's all water, but it's various forms of water. And I think that may be a poor illustration, but all of it is water, and the same thing is true of Almighty God. God is one, and yet he manifests himself to us as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, I think as we enter into the future and are given our glorified bodies, there's so many things we will learn and know and understand then that are hidden and that we do not comprehend and grasp at this time. You remember the Lord Jesus said in John 16 and verse, let's see, I believe it's verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. I believe that's true of us also, beloved. There are many things that we cannot grasp or fully understand and comprehend in our natural bodies, that in our glorified bodies we will be able to grasp and understand. So many wonderful things you and I have yet to learn in the future, we who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And all you see, beloved, oh, there's so much that is available to the child of God. So many new birth blessings that are yet in store for us, as well as blessings which we already have. And one of those blessings that we've been talking about is the Trinity. And that's why we're studying John 14, 15, 16, and 17, because these passages of Scripture, these chapters, open up and reveal some wonderful facts about the Trinity. Like in verse 7 through verse 11 of chapter 16, we learned about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and what His ministry is. And so we're in verse 16 and getting ready to move on. So if you have a Bible or New Testament, we invite you to get it and follow along with us. Verse 17. Well, verse 16, Jesus said, "A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." And we discussed that last time about the Lord Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene and telling her, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father." And yet, later, he met the women on their way to the tomb or the sepulcher, and they held him by his feet. And in that interval, I think, the Lord Jesus ascended to heaven, to the mercy seat in heaven, and offered his shed blood for the sins of mankind. Now, verse 17, "Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again, a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to my Father. Well, the Lord Jesus, they didn't see him when he was in the grave, and yet they saw him after he arose from the grave. And therefore, I believe he had ascended to the Father in that interval of time and had come back to earth. Ascended to the Father after he saw Mary Magdalene and before the women met him and held him by his feet. They said, therefore, "What is this that he saith? A little while, we cannot tell what he saith." Now, you remember, Jesus had told them that several occasions he had told them he was going to be crucified, that is, he would be put to death, and he would arise from the grave. And they didn't grasp it. They didn't comprehend it. They didn't get it. Beloved, you remember a number of times Jesus said, "Seeing ye shall not see, and hearing ye shall not hear." And what it is, beloved, it's something that's true of all of us. I've experienced this when I've been looking for something. I have been looking for an object, and it was sitting right in front of me. I didn't see it, and I went somewhere else to look for it. And I came back, and there it was, sitting right in front of me, but I didn't see it. I had eyes to see, but I didn't see it. Well, this is often true in the spiritual realm concerning the truths of the living God. There are so many things that we see, and yet we don't grasp it. And other times, when we read the same passage of Scripture, the truth opens up and pops out. And we see things that we hadn't seen before. That's why the Word of God is such a joy and such a privilege to read and to get into. Because every time you read it, you can see new truth. And the Holy Spirit can unlock new thoughts that you've never seen nor recognized before. That's why, beloved, we miss out on so much when we do not get into the Word of God. And that's why our enemy does everything he can to keep us from the Word of God. The Word of God, it's been said, the Word of God will keep you from sin. Our sin will keep you from the Word of God. And, beloved, that has a lot of truth in that statement. How important it is that we get into God's Word and let Him instruct us and teach us through the Holy Spirit of God. And so in verse 18, they said, therefore, "What is this that he saith? A little while, we cannot tell what he saith." They just didn't grasp and understand. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, "Do you inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me again? And again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. Ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." And, beloved, it was. You recall when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, how that all the disciples forsook him, and how that they were sorrowful, how they didn't understand what was going on, how they were grieved. And yet when Jesus arose from the grave and they saw him, oh, how they were thrilled, how they were excited, how their hearts burned within them, they said, because of seeing Jesus, the thrill, the joy, the blessing of knowing that Christ had risen from the dead. And they begin to understand and comprehend the truth of salvation, that Christ died for man's sin, that he was buried, and that he arose again, victor over death, over Satan, over sin, over hell. He took the keys of death away from Satan. And he lives today, beloved. He will never die again. He died once and for all, the Bible tells us. And thus, through his death, burial, and resurrection, he took my sin upon himself. He paid the penalty of my sin, for the wages of sin is death. Christ died as my substitute for my sin. He paid the penalty so that God the Father now has invited and accepted me as His child through believing in the Lord Jesus, His death, burial, and resurrection. I am a child of God. I'm a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so is every person who puts their faith and trust in Christ and accepts Him as Savior. And so the disciples were having a hard time understanding what Jesus was talking about. And this is true of us, beloved, when we're first born into the family of God. We're babes in Christ, and we have to learn the simple truths of God's Word. And as we learn the simple truths of God's Word, it's called the milk of the Word. Like a physical baby can only have milk, it cannot eat a T-bone steak. It has to develop teeth. It has to grow. It has to mature. And so the same thing true of the believer, spiritually speaking. A newborn believer has to grow, has to mature. And that's why the Scripture warns about ordaining a newborn believer into the ministry, because they've not yet grown. They've not yet matured. They have much growing to do before they can really know how to share the Word of God and to open up and reveal truths to others. And so a novice is what it's called in the Scriptures concerning a minister of the gospel, and the warning concerning ordaining a novice to the gospel, that is, one who has not grown and is not spiritually more mature. And so we see these truths here concerning the disciples. They didn't understand, they didn't comprehend, they didn't grasp. And Jesus says, you're going to be sorrowful, but you will find joy again. Your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Verse 20 of John 16. Verse 21, a woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Oh, yes, women, you can talk to a woman and she can explain this to you. The horror of going through giving birth, the pain, the agony, but afterward the joy of holding that newborn in her arms takes away the grief. Till next time, goodbye.